And now it's time to take a closer look at this past Cowboys game with Upon Further Review.
We normally do this on Wednesday at this time at 7:50, but because we have White Elephant on Wednesday, we moved it to Monday, and we've had a few days to review the Cowboys' win over the Saints on Thursday night. That puts them now to 8-4 as they get set for a very important December stretch run. And the Upon Further Review is brought to us by the Flying Fish and the fine folks there. All right, we got some plays here from the Cowboys' defense that I put up for review. Some of them I've tweeted out with the help of the Bob Sturm Show. This one is not up, but you probably remember this play, or maybe you don't. This is early in the game, and by the way, just the general vibe of going through this game on Thursday confirmed what we said Friday morning. Had the Saints had a quarterback who could hit the broadside of a barn, I don't know if they win that game.
I don't think they do.
Including this play, this is the second possession of the game, second drive of the game for the Saints. No score, first quarter, 8 minutes left. They have a 3rd and 8 at the Cowboys 38. Marquez Callaway is singled up on the right side of the field with Anthony Brown, who, of course, is coming off the just miserable game against the Raiders where he got called for all those pass interference penalties. Callaway has him beat by a good 2 steps. The throw, and this is before Taysom Hill injured his hand. The throw, he's got him beat. He gives him a double move. It's single coverage. He's going down the right side. This may be a touchdown if this ball is thrown with a little bit of air in it on his inside shoulder. But not only was it thrown so far outside and beyond his outside shoulder, his right shoulder, I don't know if you remember or not, Callaway couldn't even make a play on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Brown did make contact. There was no interference call. A good throw there. And the Cowboys, if they're not down 7-0 on that play, it puts the Saints inside the 10-yard line. So they at least get 3. They probably get a touchdown. And on the next play, because they did not convert that, that's when Brett Maher missed the 56-yarder. That was a touchdown, and that was another example of the Cowboys, at least with coverage and the way they played it, they should have given up a big play. It really had nothing to do with Cowboy defense. That was just a misfire and a wild throw by a quarterback who's not very accurate.
I know they've had a couple of good games against good quarterbacks like Herbert and Mahomes, that second half against Mahomes. But that's one of the many reasons why I'm a little skeptical about this defense come playoff time, because they're going to play Rodgers, Murray, Brady, Stafford in the postseason. And I just think this defense against a really good quarterback that's got a playoff game plan and a full season of tape on Dallas, I think a good quarterback could just light this defense up.
And, of course, this wasn't the only misfire for Taysom Hill. As the game went on, you know, he injured his finger. Why didn't they, going back and watching this, I know Simeon's no great shakes, but wouldn't he have been a better option when it was time to throw it, and maybe they could have brought in Hill to run those quarterback draws or, you know, quarterback runs outside?
I think so. I mean, it's not that big a deal because Simeon's not a great option, but I think he was a better option on that day.
I bet he could have made that throw. I didn't think that was that hard a throw. It was only like 20, 25 yards downfield, but it wasn't even close. But that was a play the Cowboys really dodged early. Play on the offensive side that we may have talked about Friday, but I don't think we made a big enough deal about this, and this has made some memes. I did put this up on my Twitter account, at George Dunham. That move that got the Cowboys going in their first scoring drive, Amari Cooper had made a catch, and then the what turns out to be just a throwback to CeeDee Lamb that's actual lateral. This went with rushing plays, and it went for 32 yards. I put up the move he makes on Malcolm Jenkins, and he makes moves like this on defensive backs and linebackers all the time. He is amazing, and then he uses his power to hit the safety and drive him from the 6-yard line to the 1-yard line. We talk so much about the electric nature of CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if it's if there's a better example of it than that play right there. And boy, didn't Jenkins feel, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Didn't he feel bad after that? I didn't even come close to even touching the guy in the open field.
I don't know who the best receiver to come out of the college ranks in the last 5 to 10 years is running after catch. But CD might be at the top of the list.
Yeah. Oh, he's incredible.
I mean, he was spectacular at Oklahoma. And he is just, he's so dangerous. The last receiver the Cowboys had like that was Dez. Remember, if you could just get the ball to Dez, he was going to break some tackles in his prime. But CD is faster. CD is even more electrifying than Dez when he gets into the open field.
Okay, here's another defensive problem. And I think this is a really interesting talking point because this is not the first time this has happened this year. It's also up there on a quick toss out to the left side. And the running back goes right back, right by, actually, I believe it's Nick Van Etter, their tight end on a little, that was a holding call. This is a running play, and it goes right by Trayvon Diggs, and he totally turns down the contact. He's done this several times. I know he's leading the world in interceptions. He's had a great year. Maybe the perception of him was wrong on my part. Watching a lot of Bama football when he played there, I swore he was a good tackler. Is he playing with an injury? Has he been doing this the last 2 years and we just haven't noticed? That's not good, that play.
Is he playing with an injury, or is he now a guy that's adopted the Deion Sanders mindset of my job is to pick off passes, to bat passes down, to cover the other team's best receiver. My job is not to tackle. And he's making business decisions. I will say this, the one play that you posted on Twitter, I don't know if that's him at the line of scrimmage giving up contact or just guessing wrong. He guessed outside and the back goes inside. I don't think that's him turning down contact, but I have seen it this year where it appears that he's just going to give kind of a half effort.
Yeah.
Now, on that play, I think he just guessed wrong.
And maybe he has outside there where he's supposed to turn the play in, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's another one on that later when Van Etter ran downfield. He kind of took a weird angle there, too, and didn't really look like he was all in for making the tackle. By the way, that run, I confused it because Van Etter was a part of both plays. He was called withholding on Malik Hooker, and it was a hold, which maybe sprung the play free. That was a big, big penalty. That was a 25-yard run by Ingram down to the Dallas 32. So then you back it up. Now they had to run back to their 35 and eventually had to punt. Had that play just been blocked properly, given what Diggs did, wasn't that another example of how, and I'm sure as Washington looks at this, I think we can run on Dallas. We've seen enough examples of this over the last, you can go all the way back to the beginning of the season. You can run against these guys, and I think this play gets run several times, just blocked with proper technique, and maybe you're running back and take it for 25 yards like Ingram did.
By the way, if Trayvon Diggs wants to get into that Deion Sanders mindset, I'm kind of okay with that.
I kind of am too if he keeps making plays.
I was fine with Deion making business decisions, as he would always call it, because he was, it's the greatness outweighs the couple things that bother you about him. Would you rather have a corner that picks off 10 passes a year and is a solid form tackler that nobody ever gets away? Sure. But I'm also okay with Diggs being that great in pass coverage and maybe giving up on a couple of tackles now and then. I know that's sacrilegious when it comes to football, but if you got to live with a couple of those moments a year, but you're getting all these picks and this great pass coverage, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have him stop gambling, especially in the postseason, I think. And again, every play is different, so it's very case by case, and I probably shouldn't even make this blanket statement. I'd rather have him stop gambling and giving up big plays that way as opposed to missing a tackle and giving up a big play.
Yeah. And I don't know. We all kind of did a carve out for Deion because he was so spectacular. Diggs seems like he's maybe built to be a decent tackler.
Yes.
I mean, he's got pretty good size for a corner. I think he can do better than that. And I wonder what Dan Quinn thinks. I mean, when they show that up there, that's reviewed and say, someone says something, don't they? Mm-hmm. We don't play defense like that. I don't care what position you play. I don't think it's a real big deal. And again, it's an isolated play. And even some of the others that have been thrown up here in the last month or so, I think are isolated plays. I've seen that guy come up and thump a running back before. And maybe that's the other thing, too, as we get late in the season. And again, that's their fourth game in 18 days. Maybe that's a play that with 10 days of rest, maybe next week, Trayvon Diggs would make that play. All right. I also put this up online. We all freaked out about that Jayron Kearse interception where he was diving out of bounds to make it after it got deflected. It was a sensational catch. And he was the Hot Fried Georgie Player of the Week, was he not,
yep,
for that performance? That interception along with some of the other plays that he made. And as great a play as that was by Kearse, and we've been talking about him more and more each week, upon further review, you go back and look at that, that is Micah Parsons covering a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Stills downfield. He has really good coverage. He has his back to the quarterback. Again, I don't know how good this throw is, but it's where Stills can make a play on it. But Parsons, at the perfect time, reacts to what the receiver is doing, gets a hand on the ball. As great a play as that was by Kearse, it's not there to make if Parsons doesn't make yet another play, this time in coverage. So he's their best pass rusher. He's their best run support linebacker. And he can cover wide receivers down the sideline. This guy can do anything.
Yep.
It's amazing. And I know when I watched that game, I think even Joe Buck at the time said he was covered by Parsons. But going back and looking at that, that's a great play by Kearse. That's also a sensational play by Parsons to, if nothing else, knock that ball incomplete. And what do most quarterbacks do when they see linebacker on a receiver? They think, we got a completion here. We're going to hit something big. We're going to hit a first down, maybe hit a big play, maybe hit a touchdown. Had they hit it, again, the Saints go inside the 5-yard line and maybe they score, but they don't. It goes the other way because Parsons gets a hand on it and then Kearse makes that unbelievable interception.
I know we may be saying something different in 10 years, but through 2/3 of a season, let us all get down on our knees and thank the Lord that Carolina took Horn and Denver took Surtain in the draft that left Parsons for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because if one of those corners had been there, the Cowboys would have taken him and we never would have experienced the greatness of Parsons. We'd probably be, when we go around the NFL, talking about the Chargers or somebody. And man, have you seen Micah Parsons? He's pretty good.
Yeah. I know. I wonder if the Cowboys even thought about taking him had he been there. Who knows? Maybe he's an emergency corner with the way he can cover with what he did on that play. Just a few plays from the Cowboys win over the Saints upon further review.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.